Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Because of the pandemic, the holidays are going to look a little different this year. And with me to talk about navigating those changes is Shyla Murgain, a distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. She's a speaker, a writer, a facilitator, a therapist, and it's always fun to have her come by. Are you having problems adjusting to seeing fewer people this holiday season? Have you come up with different ways to celebrate without being in person? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Shyla Murgain, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry.
There are, boy, lots of celebrations. We've got Thanksgiving, we've got Hanukkah, we've got Christmas, we've got New Year's, lots of celebrations coming up in the next couple of months. And it's important, I know, to make a plan for the holidays, but why do you think it's so important?
When we think of the holidays, for many people, they're the most joy-filled moments with family, good food, a lot of laughter. But we are entering some of the hardest days of the pandemic. And during the next 2 months, we're going to be seeing a continued rise in infections and overload in our healthcare system and deaths, unfortunately. And so we're really having to create a new plan for the holidays. And as a result, many people are not going to be able to see their cherished loved ones. They're going to be at risk for feeling isolated, lonely, depressed, and anxious. So it's really important to start planning ahead for how you can fill that gap when your loved ones aren't there and create a plan to really have still a different but equally meaningful and enjoyable holiday season. And we certainly saw this with Halloween. I've been really impressed with just seeing across Wisconsin so many parents getting really creative and adaptive with helping their kids approach Halloween, and neighborhoods created safe ways of giving out treats. And I think we want to use that same innovation and creativity to make this holiday season still enjoyable and one to remember, that's for sure.
Yeah. And you think about the planning, it's not something you just want to do on your own. I think it's important, or do you think it's important to get everybody involved in the planning?
Absolutely. Psychologists talk about this term coping ahead, where you anticipate a situation like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah or the New Year, and then brainstorm how you're going to address it. With the rise in cases in Wisconsin, people are really discouraged from traveling to see family, for hosting those large get-togethers, and really having conversations with family ahead of time about what you will do differently is going to be really, really important. You know, we don't want those gatherings to be super spreader events where, for example, we're in a large group of family eating Thanksgiving in close quarters with no masks, sharing plates and utensils. We want to take a long-sighted view, not just a short-term enjoyable moment, and think about, you know, the best thing we can do is to keep our family members safe by potentially canceling plans, or doing a virtual get-together, or saying, I love you, or Christmas or Hanukkah through Zoom. But certainly thinking ahead of time and having those crucial conversations is going to be so important.
Yeah, and in those conversations, what suggestions do you have for getting family members on board, everybody on board with a different kind of holiday?
The first thing I would recommend is to do a risk assessment. You can think about your family members and who is in that high-risk group. If someone's elderly or has chronic medical conditions, they might be immunosuppressed with underlying conditions. You know, it's quite risky to think about gathering in a group. Instead, think about just doing something with people in your bubble, those immediate household members. And then second, you could think about, could you suggest an alternative? could you get together for a socially distanced holiday walk? Or maybe the weather is nice. Who knows in Wisconsin? Maybe it's possible to sit outside and bring your own food and your own plates and utensils and eat a meal that way while you're 6 feet apart outside. Or maybe you can open up the garage door and have a space heater and have people sitting there. But I think a really important point is you might get some pushback. You might get a guilt trip. And when that happens, it's so important to be assertive and even have a script in mind. I recommend not getting into a debate. Don't go into a debate about science or your rationale. You don't have to justify it. Instead, just simply validate the other person's feelings, you know, their experiences. You could, you know, really recognize the disappointment that you feel and they feel. And then some simple wording that, you know, unfortunately, we're just going to have to stay home this year for Thanksgiving or Hanukkah or Christmas. I have to do what's right for my family. So I'm going to have to pass. But let's come up with alternatives. And, man, I'm going to really look forward to next year when we can see each other. And that's going to be a grand celebration.
Shyla Mergain, our guest today, distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Great to have her along. Questions, comments, or experiences to share, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email at ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call. Deneen in Green Bay, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I get my periods where it gets kind of lonely, but, you know, I've got newspapers, wonderful radio, especially you know which one, and TV and movies and books. And doing some exercise makes you feel so good. You can do some of that in the house. I do that.
Yeah. Shyla, comment? Thank you, Deneen.
Deneen, that's great to hear you're a fan of the Larry Mueller Show. I think that's a great way to occupy your time listening to his show each day. And, yes, we want to occupy those moments. You know, the worst thing we can do when we think about Thanksgiving or the holidays is to just have way too much downtime where you're just sitting there. So, instead, if you're on your own, it's really important to fill your days. You might read a favorite book or watch a favorite movie or TV show. You might try a craft or a hobby. I love that you mentioned exercise, even indoors. Absolutely. Exercise is one of the best things we can do to boost our mood and keep ourselves healthy in mind and body. So making sure you're not getting too sluggish, moving, and just other kinds of self-care, making sure you're not overindulging in alcohol or sugary, sweety, fatty foods that can be common during the holidays, making sure you're getting enough water, prioritizing sleep, and then staying connected in whatever way. You might reach out to a neighbor or schedule that Zoom holiday call or just even text a friend. You know, knowing we're not alone, even if we can't be meeting face-to-face, can be such a balm during this time.
And, Deneen, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Sounds like you're on the right track. What about you? Give a call, 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. We'll get you on pretty quickly here. I watched a TV show the other night where some people were having a virtual dinner. And I wondered at the time, I wondered if there's going to be anybody who's going to try and put a virtual Thanksgiving dinner together.
I think that's a great idea, Larry, a virtual dinner where you can set up the screen and have multiple families tuning in. And, you know, you could even make it fun. You could, when we think about Thanksgiving, you know, it's the expression of gratitude. And you could even have each family group or each family member share one thing that they're grateful for. And that could really create a sense of joining together. You could also be creative and share different new recipes, trying a new dish that you haven't done before, or even sharing your secret recipe that no one else has gotten before for the first time this year, and then you all make it. I know one family that decided that during the holidays they were going to do a virtual scavenger hunt. And they had a list of items they needed to do or go see. And then each family member took photos of themselves doing it. And I think the real point here is to create joy. One other idea I had is, you know, the ugly sweater competition or the white elephant gift we can't do. But, man, maybe we could do it virtually. You know, maybe you could send a virtual image of a white elephant gift and pass it around or do a Zoom call with your ugly sweater. I just encourage people to be creative this way.
Oh, man, I love that idea. Shyla McGain, our guest today. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234 as we talk about celebrating the holidays with under unusual circumstances. Maybe you've got some ideas as well. Love to hear from you. 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at celebrating the holidays during this 2020 pandemic year with our guest, Shyla McGain. Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for joining in. I know there are callers, some callers online, but there's a line open for you. Give a call at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. What are your thoughts? What ideas do you have? Linda in Madison, let's go to you now. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I was thinking, since I live alone and I teach chair yoga, and one of the pleasures for me is visualizing all of my students out around the country. And I was thinking on Thanksgiving or whatever holiday, you could have all your chairs set up as if for a meal and just do your own, it doesn't have to be yoga, but any kind of movement. And it can be movement in a chair. And it gets to be very funny just to imagine all the people around moving with you and laughing together and looking silly or just stretching. But that exercise comment really got me thinking what a good idea that would be to just include everyone who's not there.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe you could throw in a little music in the background, Linda. Shyla, what do you think?
Oh, Linda, your students are so lucky to have you as a teacher, and it was so heartwarming as you describe visualizing them. Absolutely. And it reminded me of some of the research around loving kindness meditation, which in a sense you were doing as you were putting out the chairs and visualizing your students, imagining instructing them in a chair yoga class. In a sense, you were wishing them well. And research on loving kindness shows that it is just a powerful practice to increase positive emotions and feelings of social connectedness, especially if you're feeling alone or social isolation. And so you could combine it with yoga. Larry, the music reminded me that you could do a dance party, imagining all your friends and family there, or just in a quiet contemplation. And with a loving kindness practice, you're just simply wishing yourself well first. You're saying, you know, silently to yourself, may I be well, happy, and at peace, free of suffering. And then you're imagining it to somebody else. May you be well, happy, peaceful, free of suffering and pain. And then you could even imagine sending it out to the world at large during this global pandemic. Well, may we all be well, happy, at peace, free of pain and suffering. And a really important point is this is a powerful practice for those people who might be annoying you or those family members that might be on the opposite spectrum politically and you always get hooked in a debate about politics or somebody who just gets under your skin or on your nerves. Doing this practice can really ease that tension and help you feel that common humanity and finding that common ground again. So thank you for mentioning that, Linda. And you know, have fun with that chair yoga practice on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Linda. Thank you so much for calling. Well, Mary D. in New Auburn, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me on.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Well, what I thought of was a situation like you're talking about with these Zoom calls or, you know, however we're getting together virtually with our family. And something that I've been meaning to do with my family is to share more of the pictures that have been taken over the years of grandparents, great-grandparents, and tell them who they are, you know. And I thought maybe in these Zoom calls it'd be a good thing to do, you know, tell my son about the great-grandmother of mine that was a woman ahead of her time that, you know, owned land back in 1910 and ran a tavern and a resort and, you know, wore pants and stuff, you know, long before women wore pants and, you know, drink beer with the men, you know. And, you know, things that, you know, the oral history that I haven't shared with him yet. And that would be maybe a good time to do that.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. Shyla, comment?
Mary, what a fantastic idea. And you really highlight that the hustle and bustle of the traditional holiday season has slowed way down. And instead, there's this opportunity to really be mindful and in the moment, and in that, sharing more depth of your own experience. So I love the idea of sharing pictures and some of the family history and your own life experiences. And I think that could be a real spark for people. My parents recently were both given books around questions for dad and questions for mom about their life and things I'd never asked them. And their assignment over the holidays is to fill it out just for that historical knowledge. So as a child, you could ask your parents some questions. You could videotape it or write it down or just listen. Or you could also dig up some old family photos and reminisce on past memories. I think that's just a wonderful idea and really unique opportunity to connect of the vast history you share together. And also the history of your ancestors. You know, we draw from their strength in ways we don't even imagine at times.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea. And I know many people have done interviews, recorded interviews with family members. My sister Meredith did that with our grandmother and our aunt, and they talked about the old days. And wouldn't it be fun to play those kinds of recordings or pieces of them, at least, for everybody to listen to and accompany it with a few photos?
Great idea, Larry. What a great opportunity to capture that now.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Mary D. John in Madison, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was going to say that one of my favorite things to do with friends or family is to watch movies or shows or listen to the radio together. I mean, radio works really well because it's already synchronized. But if you if you're clever, you can start up a movie at the exact same time as somebody else.
No, another good idea, I think, Shyla.
Yeah, movie watch party, right. And some of these platforms allow that you can watch it and then comment on it together or debrief afterwards. You can make popcorn at your separate households and enjoy it. And definitely in the depths of winter, that is going to be something that's going to be really helpful for people to prioritize. And you might even make a list of shows or movies you're never gotten around to watching that you can this winter. Certainly helps fill those cold winter long nights.
Yeah, we're getting some good ideas here. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Joyce emailed that they had a Zoom meeting about 2 weeks ago to plan Christmas, and they discussed having a Zoom meeting around Thanksgiving again to confirm it. They had planned a gingerbread house contest, which they were going to do originally as a whole group, build a gingerbread house. Now they'll do each individual family and judge using photos or maybe shots of the real thing. What do you think of that?
That's a great
little competition.
Idea. Yeah, and you know, it's invoking that creativity as well. So how fun. And would love to see those photos, absolutely. I think we've gotten used to Zoom or these video platforms. So much can be done, whether it's a competition like that and judging or sharing a meal or even opening up gifts. You know, you could mail gifts and then bring out Zoom and watch each person open them and talk through it. And a lot of joy to be found there.
Lindsay emailed to ask what suggestions you have for children who really were looking forward to holidays with their family. They've suggested a virtual gathering, but her 8-year-old is right, it's not the same. How do you explain the fact that we're headed into a very dark winter in the U.S. and we need to look at other ways to celebrate the holidays to keep everybody safe. She doesn't know how to navigate and explain this to her children, 8 and 7 years old.
So glad you brought that up, Lindsay. It's such an important point. And starting early, having the conversation with your children that Thanksgiving or Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever holiday you celebrate will look different. Second, acknowledge and validate the emotions. They're going to have a whole range of emotions, and that's okay. They're going to be maybe sad or disappointed or angry, and do some emotion coaching. Kids do so well when you simply validate and acknowledge the emotion and give them space to express it. Maybe they need to cry a little or pout a little, or play it out in some way. But then I invite you to enlist your child in coming up with a few different ways that they can approach the holidays. What would feel really joyful for them? Is there a meal that they want to make? Is there a movie that they want to do? Is there a fun family activity you can do? And remind them that we're still going to connect. It's just going to be virtual. And let them know what to expect. Like, we're going to have this call at this time doing this activity. And I really encourage, grandparents reaching out to grandkids during that day or aunts and uncles. So the child has several things to look forward to. And maybe also just encouraging kids to talk about it with their friends, because I often find kids come up with the best ideas, most creative ideas, and sometimes normalizing it with their peer group and learning what other families are doing can help also give some really interesting ideas.
So maybe Lindsay's children have cousins that they could talk with over Zoom and do a little bit of planning. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
They could even do a virtual game. I've seen a lot of families having cousins getting together and playing a virtual board game on a special day like Thanksgiving or the holidays. Yep. So there's an activity you're doing where you're connecting, you're having a shared experience, whether it's a board game or making something together or exchanging gifts or watching a virtual movie. There's a sense of shared commonality that's really meaningful for kids. And again, I think we can create a holiday that we will look back on 30 years from now and say, whoa, that was tough, but we did it.
Yeah, I can imagine that 7-year-old and that 8-year-old talking about that once they're 30 years old and thinking back on it, for sure. Well,
and I also think, Larry, I also just want to make one other point that if there are traditions within your family, like a special meal you always have or a special ritual or a way you give gifts, make sure to maintain those as much as you can. So you're going to create new things, but also have some of those pillars, those foundations that kids really look forward to. Those annual traditions are often some of the sweetest moments of the holiday.
Yeah. Betty in Brown Deer, thank you for calling.
Hi. Are we together?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good, good, good. I thought I lost you. I'm going to be all alone this Thanksgiving, but I'm single, and I don't often get to entertain because different family members do these big Thanksgivings, and I bring the cranberry sauce. This year, the family members are out and about, and my buddy, my good sister, has just gone into senior living, so I get to do the turkey this year. I'll do a whole turkey and all the trimmings and the sweet sour red cabbage, and make up a whole bunch of lunches, and then I will make my deliveries. And in the afternoon, I'm going to make Christmas ornaments.
Wow. You got lots going on there, Betty. What do you think, Shyla?
Oh, Betty, it sounds like you're going to be bringing a smile to a lot of family members. And you just bring up such a great idea that we can make dishes and then deliver it at family members' doorsteps. Is a way of kind of creating a potluck, a virtual potluck, so to speak. And I love the idea of making ornaments. And yeah, it sounds like you got some great cooking to do that'll fill that day. I think a really other important thing to keep in mind is when we start to feel alone or down or in the doldrums or just overwhelmed or stressed during the holidays, one of the best things we can do that, Betty, you are doing is to look outside yourself, right? When we kind of get stuck in the muck, we tend to go really internally and in our head and kind of that doom and gloom thinking. One of the best ways to snap out of that is to do something for somebody else, like your great idea, making food and delivering it to family members. So you could think about, can I do something for a neighbor who might really bring a smile to their face? Can I do something kind for a stranger, such as just simply wishing somebody a good day? Can I treat a family member to something? That sense of gratitude and appreciation that we can extend to others can really help stabilize our mood and really make some meaning during these challenging times in this holiday season.
Yeah, Betty, thank you so much for calling. You can join in, too. We'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234 or go ahead and email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So, you know, is it a good thing maybe to shake up holidays once in a while?
I think it is. We can, when you think about some of the past most stressful holidays, it's usually that we're running around like a chicken with its head cut off and trying to kind of like a holidays, you know, we're in a daze shopping and buying all this stuff and trying to have everything go perfectly only to feel completely exhausted and overwhelmed and glad that the holidays are done. And so this year gives us such a unique opportunity to get back to the basics of what's really important. And really it's about, you know, loving and connection and cultivating peace in ourselves and in one another. So I think as life has slowed down and as we're having to stay inward more in our own homes, there is, a opportunity for deep reflection around the spirit of the holidays, the meaning of the holidays, the traditions and values we hold within our own family, and how we want to show up for this moment as role models to our children, as members of our community and citizens in our world. And, you know, I think peace begins with us. And, you know, there's an opportunity to just spread some kindness and love in the world.
And still there's this real heavy pull toward during this time of the year, regardless of the situation, and want to get together with family. Jill called to say her family's still getting together. They've all been tested. They feel safe. She said they've agreed to not to talk about health and politics. She feels it's so important to get together because of all that's going on.
Yeah, Jill, and there will be those situations where when you assess the risk, and it sounds like you're all getting tested or have gotten tested and will get tested again, that it feels like it's low risk. And if that's the case, you know, getting together, you want to follow the CDC guidelines. And the CDC actually came out with specific guidelines for holiday celebrations and small gatherings. So I encourage listeners to reference that. And they have some really important messages around how to keep safe, like wearing masks, you know, hand hygiene, social distancing. If you are eating, trying to be further away so you're not all crowded around the table closely. But I do think, you know, for some people it might feel right to get together. We just want to make sure we're doing it safely.
Pauline in Whitewater, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I hear you talking about these creative ways to celebrate the holiday. My comment isn't exactly something that would help with the COVID situation, but I'm reflecting on a Christmas that we had many years ago, but we were adult children at the time. We showed up for Christmas and there was no tree because my parents weren't quite getting along at the time and my father was too stubborn to go get a tree. So a sister of mine went to the craft drawer, pulled out some curly ribbon, and constructed a tree in the middle of the living room using curly ribbon. And before long, my father was taping bills to it, 20s and 50s and $100 bills to it. And today, it remains our most memorable. I mean, the tree remains our most memorable tree, Christmas tree. I don't remember much else of that day, but I just share that with your audience because all of these ideas that you're expressing today, I think could mean that this could be a very memorable Christmas, however they share it, and how whatever creativity comes out of this COVID Christmas, it's likely to be a memorable Christmas for people for years to come. And our tree, that's 20, 30 years ago, and we still talk about it.
Oh, Pauline, I hope you got a photo of it at the time.
We don't, because it was so simple. There were presents, and we just tucked them at the bottom of the curly ribbon. And but there was green. You know, it was green. It was a tree that was green, and we loved it. And Merry Christmas to everybody. It's fun listening to all of the comments and creative ideas.
Well, thank you for adding your comments so much. Appreciate it, Pauline. A comment, Shyla.
Yeah, Pauline. Hi. I just got a chuckle when you mentioned that. It's like your family created a money tree. And, you know, Larry, I want one for the holidays with $50 and $100 bills. This is like a great gift. And what was so unique about that is you turned a potentially challenging situation where there was some discord in your family to working together and unifying and getting creative and building something. And, you know, holidays can spark discord and disagreement, especially, you know, I love the previous caller said, we're not going to talk about politics. And one of the ways to diffuse those moments, I think, is just what you did, Pauline, to come together and create something. And a simple practice that can be used, that you can use personally if somebody's, you know, rubbing you the wrong way, or maybe it's going into the political discussion with somebody who feels very different, is a just like me practice, where you simply just recognize that this person in front of you, you're more similar than different, that person has some of the same hopes and dreams, fears and worries, concerns, anguishes and joys and celebrations, and has had good days and bad days. And when you can really connect at that core level and recognize the common humanity, it can really shift a tone, an atmosphere, an environment, and open up space for just what you mentioned, Pauline, to come together and really build those memories. I call them memory maker moments, those memories that you remember for a lifetime. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that beautiful story.
Thank you, Pauline. A listener emailed to say she's a nurse and she'll be working 12 hours on Thanksgiving Day. She's not really looking for any advice, but just a reminder, there are many people who will be doing the hard work of health care, and we will be busier than ever before. And she says, I honor all of us.
Yeah, you are a healthcare hero, you know, and 12 hours on Christmas. And we just owe so much to our healthcare workers, our first responders, our essential workers. And I think it's such a great point that they are working during the holidays. They might not get Thanksgiving off. They might not get New Year's Eve off or Christmas or Hanukkah. And not only are they working, they're feeling pretty overwhelmed and burned out. So I think it's also just a reminder to be kind to one another. You never know what somebody's going through. And if you know a healthcare worker or first responder or essential worker, to thank them. You know, we probably want to reach out and thank the people who are delivering our mail every day, or you could hold up a sign for those people who are collecting our garbage, or, you know, if you know a nurse, maybe, or a physician or healthcare provider, maybe even sending them a thank you note. That can really help as we approach these holidays. So thank you for highlighting that.
Might be a thing to do right during the holiday is to have everybody sit down and write a little note to someone. Maybe it's a family member, or maybe it's just somebody that helps them or helps others in the community, that it might be kind of nice for everybody to sit down and do something just like that.
And it's one of the best things we can do for our own well-being, that generosity, that gratitude practice, saying that thank you. Maybe somebody you appreciate, but you never fully thanked. research shows when we do that kind of act, it benefits the other person, but it even more benefits us. It really creates a sense of happiness and well-being that lingers for a while. I love that idea, Larry. Thanks for really encouraging your listeners to do that.
Well, how are you going to be spending Thanksgiving?
I am doing a virtual Thanksgiving with some loved ones. So I will be doing some cooking. I have a wonderful pumpkin pie recipe that I'm doing. And then the family members in my bubble, will be celebrating eating and then some virtual Zoom gatherings as well. And I'm going to look forward to also just doing some self-care with some exercise and watching some movies and hopefully playing some board games, too. How about you, Larry?
Well, yeah, I always like the, just speaking of board games, I always like the board games, the family board games we play. We've gotten out of the habit of actually keeping score because so many of them are fun. Pictionary or things like that are just fun to do and see what people come up with, regardless of any scoring that goes on. And I found that those can be some of the most fun parts of the holiday season.
And absolutely. We'll be Pictionary. Yep, you can do that virtually.
You can indeed. And we'll be spending some time in a garage, a very large garage with a fire ring on the outside. For Thanksgiving with Grandma and Grandpa, but keeping the masks and the social distancing together, but apart, but together emotionally and in person.
Sounds like a lovely way to spend the day, Larry.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today, Shiloh. I think we came up with a lot of good ideas here. And I hope we've sparked some folks to go ahead and follow through on them. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Larry. And I want to wish you and all your listeners a happy and healthy holidays.
To you as well. Shiloh Mergain, distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. She will be back right after Valentine's Day, I think, February 16th. We'll talk with her again. Maybe some discussion about amore, our love, just that, or perhaps other things as well with her in February. We're going to switch gears, though, and talk about medications and managing your medications. There are some things we all should be thinking about when it comes to those medications that many of us take. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.